Intervju Radija Študent.
Dva dni nazaj je v Novi Gorici na dvorišču Mostovne nastopila ameriška zasedba Biohazard. Ob dani priložnosti smo ujeli ustanovitelja zasedbe in hkrati povratnega člana, kitarista Bobija Hembla, ki nam je povedal veliko o novi postavi zasedbe, o novem albumu, o newyorškem hardkoru nasploh, nekaj pa tudi o svojem življenju.
Bobby, welcome to Slovenia, man.
Thank you very much.
How are you feeling?
Awesome. Great to be here. We're excited to play. Just it's a beautiful day and it just feels like it's going to be a really fun show, you know.
I bet it will be, man. It should be a real chaos. So, how is the whole tour been going on now?
Actually, this last two legs of this tour in June and July have been just the greatest. It's been amazing. We have the greatest road crew. Tour manager, bus driver, and that makes everything very easy when we have a great crew with us. And the band, as a band, we've been playing together, like just jamming our asses off and feeling like a real band, man. Feeling great. And you know, with Scott Roberts in the band now, it's a whole new energy and a whole new feel. And we're so excited about it. You know, we've been feeling great. Every night's just a good show, and we're lucky to be out on the road.
Okay, I would first like to ask you, before you rejoined Biohazard, what were you doing for the last, 14 years before that?
Shit. After I left Biohazard, I went on tour with a band called White Devil, and we did some European touring and big festival show in Eindhoven called the Dynamo Festival. And then after that, I left that band and I just kind of left music for a while. You know, losing Biohazard to me was very painful. It was kind of hard to deal with. And I tried to put a couple of bands together, but people weren't very serious. And then sooner or later, I had to just say, you know what, I'm just going to go back to swinging a hammer and doing construction and doing whatever I can do. But I always kept playing. I never stopped playing. I always waited for a moment where I can play again. I would jam with people here and there, but nothing serious. I don't know. I think I was really waiting for to get back with Biohazard and make things right with them. I think so. And I'm glad I got to do that, man.
Did you follow their career and albums in the meantime while you were...
No, not really, not at all. I just kind of needed to distance myself from a lot of stuff. I kind of distanced myself from the whole scene for a while. You know, and then friends of mine were grabbing me saying, hey, man, you got to come out to the shows and people have to know you're alive and, you know, maybe you can meet somebody who wants to play and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, come on, let's go. And they drag me out to the shows. And sooner or later, I bump into Danny Shula. Mm-hmm. And we just hugged and, you know, made up and we were friends. And we said, you know, what do you think about getting the band back together? And that was it. And we just started talking from there. And then, you know, it just was great, you know, that we could come back and finish what we started together, you know.
And how was that first moment, four of you guys together in the practice room again?
It was fucking crazy. It was crazy because, for me, it was crazy. But I took it as a good luck sign because I was on my way to the rehearsal room. I haven't been with them in 12 years. This is our first time in a room together in 12 years. And I'm on my way and I'm smoking a cigarette on the train station in Manhattan, outside on the platform, and a cop sees me. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm busted. So I throw the cigarette out. He comes over, hey, come here. You can't fucking smoke out here and all this shit. I'm like, sorry, officer. I'm a little nervous. I got my guitar. I said, I'm a little nervous. I know I shouldn't be smoking, but I'm going to play with my band, and I haven't played with these guys in a long time. And the cop's like, oh, yeah, he's ready to give me a ticket. What band? I said, Biohazard. He goes, the original Biohazard getting back together? I said, yeah. He goes, all right, man, go ahead, light up a cigarette. I don't give a shit. That's great news. I was like, yeah, cool. So fucking, I thought that was a blessing. And then I went there and we basically hung out and talked mostly. We did about 5 songs, not very good, but we played a couple of songs and that was it. And then the next time we were together in a room, we were on stage in Australia opening for Korn with no rehearsals. After 12 years of not being a band, I had to jump on stage and remember all these songs. And just, oh yeah, how did that go? Oh yeah. And we're fucking just right back in the mix, man. We're like, we got back together on stage. We didn't do it in some rehearsal room. We did it on tour, awesome. You know, so.
Awesome.
It was, I can't describe, my stomach was fucking upside down, you know what I mean?
Okay, so since then you've been playing like the globe for the next 2 years. In the meantime, did you ever guys think that you will record a new album together?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We were like, when we first came out, we were like, so, you know, we thought it was going to be, all right, we'll do a little touring and some old fans will come out. But the reaction to us being back together was way better than we thought it was going to be. We were blown away. And people were screaming, new album, new album. We were like, you want us to do a new record? And they were like, yeah. And we were just kind of like letting it sink in. And then pretty soon we said, okay, we got to do it. You know? It was great.
Okay, and now the new album has been out since January this year. And if you compare it to the first 4 classic Biohazard album, where do you see this one, except just the being the latest album?
Well, for me personally, it's the next one after, for me, State of the World Address. Is where I left off with the band. So I just see it as just us being us and being honest and just doing our own thing. And this is what you get when you separate us for 12 years and throw us back in a room together and hit record. That's what you got. That's what it was.
And of course it was a big comeback album for Biohazard and also a swan song album for Evan. How did you guys react when you first heard the news that he was, did you expect it in any way?
No. Didn't expect it whatsoever. He didn't say anything to us. We just got a message. Manager called us up and said he wanted to leave the band. And we were shocked. And we were like, you know what? Okay, go. You know, it's mutual. Go ahead. Look, we're grown men. And the fact that we even got the band back together in the first place was a miracle. People said it could never be done. I thought it would never be done. The fact that we got to tour around the whole world for like 18 months is another miracle. The fact that we got to make an original album together is another fucking miracle. So there's no promises that we were gonna stay together forever. So if he had to leave, then he's gotta leave. But we wanna keep playing.
And how did Scott Roberts enter the picture?
Awesome. Fucking, when I got back in the band, Scott Roberts, who was playing guitar in my position at some time during the time when I was out. When I got back in the band, Scott stepped up and said, I'll be your guitar tech. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he teched for me while I came back in the band, which was a great thing. You know, he's a cool guy. He's a good friend. He's a solid dude, you know? That takes a lot, you know? It's good people. And Scott knows all the music. So, you know, and then, you know, a couple of times when, like, Billy couldn't make it because his baby was being born, Scott filled in. And then Evan couldn't make it, Scott filled in on the bass. Then when Evan left, we said, yo, Scott, come back. And Scott's the best because he jams with us the way we're supposed to jam. Like, he's already one of us, you know? So it was just natural. And he's taking the band to a higher level. Like, we're playing better with Scott. I mean, Scott's got his own groove going on that works really well with Biohazard. It's a really good new day for the band.
Okay, I must ask you this. Most of us know life in New York by watching old school movies, you know, of every genre. So I must ask you, how was life in New York when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, it was completely different than it is now. There was a lot more tension. A lot more drugs and lawlessness and crime and just, it was a lot tougher, it was a lot different. You know, it's not the same anymore, you know. I mean, it's probably a better place now, but I wouldn't trade where we grew up. We would, none of us would trade it for the world because we learned everything, you know, and you had to learn everything quick. You had to fucking fight, you had to learn how to fucking steal, you had to learn how to fucking cheat in school, or you had to learn how to cut out of school, you had to learn how to work at a young age, you had to learn how to, you know, teach yourself how to play guitar, you had to fucking learn, you know, you had to do all these things, you know, you had to bury a lot of friends along the way, and, you know, we lost a lot of friends. It's not the same now. I go back there to my old neighborhood, and I don't even recognize it anymore. It's not the same.
Okay, I must ask you this. How did you choose the life of a guitar player? What was that crucial moment? When did you know that you will pick up the guitar and this will be the path of your life?
Probably fucking when I heard, you know, I think there was a few different guitar players that probably did it to me. Mm-hmm. Randy Rhoads, Black Sabbath, you know, Tony Iommi. Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen, of course, you know, these people just, it was like electricity when I heard it, you know what I mean? And when I got my first guitar, my friend offered it to me. He goes, hey, man, you want to buy my guitar? I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with that? He goes, I don't know, I'll sell it to you for $80. So I fucking got together $80. I was like 15, 16, and I bought it. And I just kind of couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. That was it, you know? And then the more I heard, I started opening my mind to what guitar was about and listening to people and trying to learn what they're doing on records. And I don't know, just being young and having not much else. It was either like hang out with all my friends who were into being criminals and getting in trouble, or hang out with the other crew of friends that I had that were into music, you know, and just getting fucking wasted and partying. But it was better than fucking crime and jail. Mm-hmm. It was better to just go to shows and fucking, and then of course the New York hardcore scene, which is what inspired me to at first put Bioeyes together, you know, so
what are your thoughts on New York hardcore movement?
I think it's incredible how it's reached the whole world. And whatever Biohazard is in the New York hardcore scene, or, you know, we're not considered traditional hardcore, and we never said we were. But we still have respect for those guys that are the traditional ones. The fact that the bands are still going today, the fact that there's new bands, the fact that it's respected all over the world, it's just, it's an honor for us to have ever been a part of it, even if it's whatever part we are, you know? Very proud of all the bands that have come out of New York and made something of themselves and fucking, you know? It's a great thing.
Okay, so can I ask you then also, what is your opinion on this feud that happened between the former and the current Cro-Mags members like a week ago?
First of all, my opinion on it, it is just a personal opinion like I would have of any other fight or something that happened with my friends or something. That it was just a bad night and some bad shit happened. Fortunately, this happens to be a famous band, and the internet and people blow fucking things up out of proportion on the internet, you know what I mean? So I'm really disgusted with a lot of the stuff that's being said, but I really can't comment on it. I just hope, I'm glad that everybody's okay and that no, it wasn't as serious as people thought it was. I mean, as far as injuries go, I'm glad that Michael's okay, and I love him, and I'm, you know, I'm glad Harley's okay. You know, I hope, I hate to see shit like that. We all hate it, but it's not my business. You know what I mean? So I really don't have an opinion.
Okay. And I must ask you this, a little bit of personal questions. Considering your father and his life, both as a soldier in Vietnam, I guess,
yeah,
and of course as a worker, he impacted you deeply, which one can sense in,
yes,
the songs like Remember and Five Blocks to the Subway.
Thank you.
So first of all, I'd like to ask you, considering your father comes from the blue-collar,
yeah,
background, what is your opinion on economic crisis in the U.S. today? Like, do you think, I don't know, do you think it could get better for the workers, or it will like gradually get worse?
I think in America we still have the ability to figure things out for ourselves before it's too late. And that's what I pray is going to happen. And then maybe we could help in other areas of the world, you know what I mean? I still have faith in people, you know, learning from mistakes and trying to better themselves and trying to change things for the better for whatever reason. I mean, when things go too far in either direction, it's bad. In America, when it kind of, when people are in agreement all the time and working together, that's when it's good. Until we have better unity among ourselves, things will always be tough and always be a struggle. Certain people struggle and certain people don't. I just know that even when times are good, working men always end up with the short end of the stick. You know what I mean? That's just the whole fucking thing. And you know, they bust their asses and they build our world for us. You know, and the soldiers go out and risk their lives for us so we can have the freedoms to do what we want, play guitar and things like that. And then you have an uprising of people who have no respect for either, you know? And that's insulting. And it's just... you know, I don't have any answers. I'm not an economist. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. I just know that I have faith in the spirit of working people, you know.
Okay, and like we said, you also are very opinionated when it comes properly to wars, to the consequences it leaves to the U.S.
Well, who isn't? I mean,
you wrote the song like Remember, which is like a really deeply song.
Well, that wasn't about the war at all. That was really about, you know, we wanted to show the vets of that war that there are people in our generation who remember and care. And, you know, because when they returned home, when my father returned home, there were people marching in the streets and fucking spitting on him and fucking, you know, he thought he was over there fighting for his flag and fighting, you know, for his country and for the idea of freedom and stuff. And they come home and then you have a whole bunch of people treating him like shit, his own government and his own fucking civilians treating him like shit. And these guys never got a fair deal. They never got a fair shake. They never got congratulated or thanked properly. They were never thanked, you know. And... In America, you see these veterans, and they all have this look in their eyes, you know, and it's very sad, you know what I mean? And today, the kids that are out fighting today in the world, they're going through the same thing in different ways, you know, and these people get stressed, they get trauma, you know, in their lives, and they need support, you know what I mean? It's not... You know what I mean? They're out there doing just doing the battle. You know what I mean? They're not creating the wars. Yeah. They're not in the big picture. You know, and these are the soldiers, man. You know, and the soldiers have to always, whether you agree with the war or not, you have to respect the soldier. You know what I'm saying? In the old days and in the in wars, I mean, soldiers respected each other, even enemies. They would show each other some respect. You know, and they would do things honorably. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for people to lose sight of that and take for granted all the things that people sacrifice for them, it's very sad. So we just felt that, you know, I just felt that I wanted to give something back. That's all. But no political opinion at all, you know?
Okay, yeah. Okay, and it seems that hard times in life made you like a stronger person. And of course, it seems, I'm sure you're not a jaded one. So do you have any advice for people who only see probably like a pessimism in the future, only darkness in the days ahead?
That it's all part of the test. It's all a test, and it doesn't end. This is life. From the moment you open your eyes to the moment they're closed for good, it's always some kind of test. And you'll always be trying to find your way and figure things out, and there will be darkness, and there will be fucking... obstacles that seem so too hard to overcome, you know. But if you have faith in yourself and your own spirit and your own mind, and maybe some kind of, some people need a higher power, some people just believe in themselves, some people you know, look for support in other places, you know what I mean? There are other alternatives to destroying yourself and giving up, you know what I mean? I know, because I was a very self-destructive person, and if it wasn't for music, I probably would have made it on my goal of self-destruction, you know what I mean? I found music, and I was very lucky. And the music kept me away from the drugs and the things that would have taken me there that I was doing, you know, or whatever else, you know. But I just people should embrace life every day, no matter how hard it is. It's still beautiful. It's still life. And you still have to just say, tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's another day. Let me get through today, one day at a time. Let me get through today, you know.
Okay, I would like to say thank you for your time, man.
Thank
this
you.
Was a really inspirational talk.
Thank you, brother. Good luck with your whole thing.
Yeah, thanks. I would just like to ask you, would you like to give any last comments or message to the Biohazard fans in Slovenia or worldwide in general?
Yo, Biohazard loves you guys. And we're glad to be here. And we're going to go home and we're going to do another record with Scott Roberts on vocals. And just the whole new energy that we've been getting off of the vibe on the tour. We're going to do a new record and we're going to come back here and we're going to hit Slovenia again soon. As possible, possibly next summer.
Okay, cool, man.
All right, thank you.
Eres intervju s kitaristom zasedbe Biohazard Bobbyjem Hamblom sem pripravil Ivan Cepanec Stegna.
Intervju Radija Študent.